This is Afternoons with Joel Rheinberger on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania.
The Tasmanian Community Achievement Awards have handed out their nominations for 2023, and one organisation is in there for a couple of categories. So Inclusive Innovations Tasmania are up for the Empowerment Through Diversity and Inclusion Award and the Active Tasmania Award. But who exactly are Inclusive Innovations Tasmania? Philip Drury is the CEO. Let's ask him. Hello, Philip. How are you doing?
G'day, Joel. Great to be here.
Now, before we get to the organisation, who are you, Philip?
Who am I?
Yeah,
well, I'm the CEO.
Big question, I know, but...
Yeah, we were chatting before. A few years ago, I designed my life a bit different. I've always been in the corporate creative world. So I run a company there called Inclusive Creatives that feeds the family. But I also wanted to get educated in the not-profit world, and we started Inclusive Innovations Tasmania. So I am the MD of the commercial company. I'm the proud volunteer CEO of IIT.
Now, what brought you into this kind of space working on inclusivity when you've been, as you say, a corporate creative?
Yeah, well, very interesting listening to the last couple of hours of your program. So going to certain personality traits, even narcissism
talking
and all that.
Narcissism, so, yeah, yep.
I think we're talking code. But look, the corporate world can be brutal. It can lack inclusion. Very much. In fact, it's a great excluder. And so, I had a privileged career through that world for 30-something years. But got to my 50s, and even though my wife thought it was a midlife crisis, my counsellor at the time said it's your values field there going off, so to speak. So I realised I was a privileged person running companies, but I'd never really put anything back into the community, or more so used my skills and my network skills for community benefit. So, yeah, set up both companies, but we're here to talk about IIT, and it's been an amazing journey to this nomination, which is brilliant.
So what exactly does Inclusive Innovations do?
Yeah, so by its name, we, and about 4 years ago, could see the inclusion movement, so to speak, really starting to gather, and that goes right back to the Me Too movement and many other things we could talk about. So
yep,
this
yep.
whole inclusive community feel. And so I'll talk probably more business language, saw a gap in the market, a need. So we're not a support sector entity and would never talk that down.
So
they do amazing work.
You're not an NDIS provider or anything like that?
No, yep. we call ourselves an independent, not-for-profit entity, but we're more an incubator of ideas. I know that sounds a bit, you know, posh, but basically came up with a vision that within my network there were many professionals and lived experience people that agreed with that gap in the market, and that was to build a bridge, so to speak, between need and solution, where there was an opportunity to do innovative thinking and programs that would create inclusivity in our community. It's a bit of a mouthful to get your head around it. Another way, if I can go there, is we've been on this journey about understanding what that is and how we can apply our value, if you like. And I got asked by a lot of people, I feel like, what's this inclusion stuff? And I'd say, well, actually what I've come to learn is, so the question back to you, have you ever excluded anyone? So if you get your head around that, we call it kind of reverse inclusion. If you realise... I'll go here first. Inclusion, the common understanding would be it's about including people with disability. It's about culture inclusion. Get all that. Fantastic. What about if you're experiencing exclusion? So that could be by financial, physical, or just the fact that there's nothing from a quality level, so to speak, and we'll talk about sport, which is offered to you as a cohort. So you are excluded. So, yes, what drives our innovative thinking is around those opportunities to create accessibility for people that are currently excluded.
Let's get some concrete examples, because I always love a concrete example.
Yeah.
What are some of the programs that you have done, the things that you have actually come up with that have actually worked and been useful?
Yeah, thank you. So, obviously, we're up for the category nomination for Blind Cricket Tasmania. Broader that to answer your question, we've narrowed our... proposed ideas, if you like, through the last year or two to five. So we activated Blind Cricket, and I'll come back to that. We've also just launched Psychological Safety at Work coaching product. And again, we're talking about exclusion there as much as inclusion in the workplace and workplace compliance. We launched 3 years ago the Emerging Talent Award for a person living with disability or neurodiversity. And again, don't get me started on neurodiversity. It's not always the that cohort rightfully doesn't like to be tagged as disabled, but again, they endure all kinds of exclusion. So that award identifies pure talent out there in the creative world that are struggling to be acknowledged, if you like, or given opportunities. We're talking graphic designers, we're talking writers that, again, might have a neurodiversity or disability that other people, unfortunately, have decided won't give them an opportunity. That's through a state award platform, and we can come back to that. The one that we are just developing at the moment is called, it's more of an exclusion story, the Game Changer Sports Equipment Reuse Scheme. Now, all these programs are done in partnerships, very much about networking and relationships. That one, to give a scenario, is little Johnny or Jane, and I'll probably use this cliche, growing up in a low socioeconomic family. Maybe their behaviours are being influenced by things that shouldn't be out there. So sport is a great opportunity for that person to build confidence, well-being. So, so in that regard, their exclusion is because their family can't afford them sports equipment to participate.
Yeah, and these things get really expensive.
They get very expensive. So... and the fifth one, which we're just leaning into, and there'll be a conversation with the ABC, and around we want to create content, call it podcast for the mainstream to understand, around these life experience of people experiencing exclusion in a podcast series. So they're the five that we're developing, but Blind Cricket has been the celebrated success to date.
So what happened with Blind Cricket? Like I've known for years that Blind Cricket exists as a sport, that they have the ball, which I think it was diggers from World War II came up with a wicker ball full of bells, therefore Blind Cricket was born, because you can bowl and swing and field and everything, without your vision, which is a fantastic thing. So what happened in Tasmania?
So thank you. Just go back. Thanks for acknowledging that. It was invented in Australia with diggers coming back from service in the war, clearly losing their eyesight. Or I'll say now, it's blind and low vision.
Yep.
So usually what confuses people, and they say, Phil, how do you play cricket when you can't see the ball? It's an audio ball, but there's a range of... vision, low vision degree in a team, but I'll come back to that. So to answer your question, I'm a past president of a Newtown Cricket Club. I've done work at national level with peak inclusion sports charities, and I looked around at the national championships that have been going on for 30-something years. There was no Tasmanian team. So I came home and told my wife, and she's like,
because you're a cricket fan, aren't you?
I'm a cricket fan. I've got a cricket background. So took that to the board, the IT board, and of course we approach things very much in a business manner. So I went back through my network to Cricket Australia, Blind Cricket Australia, Cricket Tasmania, Blind Sports Australia, and they all said very supportively, you're correct, there's nothing going on in Tasmania from a participation or state team pathway. And that got us excited. So it's been 3 years. We have probably used the term fast-tracked it with an incredible amount of effort. You don't just create...
a whole sports community out of nothing, do you?
No. So have a lot of work. And again, we exist in the service, if you like, of the people that benefit or are in our initiatives. So cricket, what happened was we went statewide, wide call out, and people came and went until we found a group of people that were committed and would follow that dream. And in February this year, with ACT as an entry point, we had a dual TAS ACT Same with ACT.
Because it's a small place, the ACT.
Small place. And we competed for the first ever time in Tasmanian history, Australian blind cricket history, at the National Championships. So it was a huge, proud moment, as much as it was brutal.
Why was it brutal? Did we get flogged?
There was, and there's always this thing, oh, Tassie's no good. We got close in one game. Got to remember that none of these players have ever played national cricket. We're not talking about hitting giggles here. We're talking about in parallel, pardon the pun, but to a Paralympic or a para sport. This is serious stuff.
Oh, look, let me just say that I met up with someone from one of the big blind cricket teams, the state blind cricket teams, and had a hit with him some years ago as a reporter. And he gave me glasses which simulated
glasses.
Various different types of eye deficiency. Yep. And he belted me all over the park, yep. And I could not lay yep. a bat on the balls he was bringing down. He just flogged me. Yep. Absolutely. Like, the play is, and even with my eyes open, he was still flogging me. So yep. it's pretty amazing cricket play going on there. And so a huge set of skills to develop.
It is. So I would invite anyone to look at blindcricktas.com.au to have a look, to be informed and even entertained. It's an international sport. So, in fact, every test-playing international country must have, in fact, a blind team. So Australia's always had a team, and one day we hope to have a Tasmanian in that team. But if yep. I can just quickly go somewhere which is some big news. I'm also a director of Blind Cricket Australia now.
Yep.
And also the coach, Taylor Purton, of our Tasmania team, is a director. And they're on a plane next week. So she's the first ever female coach of the first ever Australian blind and low vision female team
okay.
to go to the World Games. So yep, very yep. proud of Taylor and that, at least her pathway, as much as the players coming through what we have created. So that's super, super exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Look, women's sport is really seriously coming of age. I think the viewing figures for the Matildas are teaching the sports world a bit of a lesson about that at the moment. So
yeah,
that's fantastic to hear.
Actually, I saw those, and being a kind of a media person myself in terms of the commercial world, that's serious stuff. That's where all those naysayers of particularly female sport,
yep.
you know, and I go right back to a time when there was probably 15, 20 years ago that there was a certain attitude that female cricket just, you know, wasn't a thing or wouldn't be a thing. So, again, I've watched all that evolve and, again, how it parallels into other sports. So, but the first, yeah, female blind and low vision national side is, yeah, super exciting and we'll grow the sport. So coming back to Tassie, we are constantly doing call-outs for people to just come and participate. You can, Joel, you can come and wear the glasses and have a hit with us. But if you have a low vision, if you're a B1, B2 or B3 categories, you could possibly even play for Tasmania one day, or just come and expand your social networks.
Philip Drury is CEO of Inclusive Innovations Tasmania. Great to meet you, Philip. Thanks for coming into the studio.
Thanks, Joel. Thanks for the opportunity.